Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
That song makes me feel like flannel sheets right out of a dryer. It just feels so good when I hear that. And I heard a lyric that I hadn't paid attention to before. Let the fire of hope last long after Thanksgiving Day. I heard an intriguing observation. Did I say this on Sunday or was it in class when I was quoting Vaclav Havel about the difference between optimism and hope? Does this sound familiar to y'all? Okay. Vaclav Havel had been president of Czechoslovakia and was a playwright. And he said there's a difference between hope and optimism. An optimist is somebody who has a disposition and expects the good to happen. But hope is more important than that, because hope is a quality of heart and mind where you want something to happen, and it may not. And it may not in your lifetime, but it's worth working for. And I like that. I learned something from that. Hope for a sense of wholeness is something that I think all of us are seeking. We experience it in part, but rarely in its entirety. We are born with so many extraordinary attributes in our life. I believe that we are born optimistic. But optimism might be hard to sustain for some of us, many of us, all of us, in the face of different life experiences. And we forget to be our natural optimistic selves because we face so much discouragement or get incorrect teaching when we are young about don't ask for too much, don't aim too high, says our parents, perhaps, because I don't want you to be hurt or disappointed. And so many of us set aside our aspirations. We set aside that sense of wholeness and confidence that kids are born with. Children are so confident. When I got to work with Bunny a couple of Fridays ago at one of her schools with first graders, was it, Bunny? Who are 5 and 6? 5 and 6. These children were so confident about who can do this. I can do this. Who wants to do this? I want to do this. Who's a young master? I'm a young master. But man, that goes at some point through the process of living, which can be very difficult for many of us. And we don't eagerly raise our hand when we are invited into life. We forget that we have a place at the table. The place is there, and yet we forget, or we lose the confidence. And over time, what may happen to some of us is that unconsciously, we might find ourselves far from our true nature, and life might become painful. And so we have some strategies to alleviate pain. Most of those strategies ultimately do not serve our health and wholeness, but they seem to put the pain on hold. Few too many episodes binge watching of television now that we get to do that. Guilty. Few too many pints of Ben and Jerry, guilty. as I have discussed, because we are doing a series on the 12 steps in the recovery world right now, I put that pain on hold myself for most of the 80s with alcohol. And then I found that I wasn't moving along in life, and it was not working for me. So I found I needed to start all over again and release that as a strategy. It wasn't blessing my health and wholeness. What happens, the damage that can be done unless we undertake some effort to retrieve our inherent sense of wholeness is that we lose that confidence that we had all along. Now it's there, but it has to be reclaimed. And this confidence is the thing that we must rely on to get ourselves through the day, to get ourselves through our work, to maintain aspirations or to find new things to be willing to be interested in. If we don't reactivate that sense of inherent confidence that we have, we will be too discouraged, too tired, too shy, too weary of heart and bone to keep on seeking something new, as Jody sang about in the first song that she sang, to be willing to keep learning something. This is the glory of being alive, that there's always an opportunity to be learning something new, to be placing ourselves on a threshold of a new learning, a new insight, a new adventure, a new creation, a new relationship, etc. That's what we get to do while we're here. And so if we find that we are not doing that, that would be good feedback for ourselves. To ask ourselves, when did I stop seeking out the new? Now that gratitude backlash that I mentioned previously, that is something to be aware of. Have I stopped seeking the new? Have I really put my life on hold, and am I expressing gratitude as a rote activity to convince myself that things are really great? Well, they may not be so bad, but they might not be great either. That's something to be aware of. Unless we enter into some kind of spiritual practice, we're not going to be able to reactivate that confidence that we are born with. And it is mighty energy, a mighty energy. It is confidence, a sense of trust in one's self and that what I am doing is worthwhile, no matter what it is, as long as it doesn't diminish the experience of anything else. That what I want to do matters. And then how I choose to express myself in a healthy, creative way really matters. And it adds to everyone's experience of living when I am willing to do that. If I'm not on that cutting edge, if I'm not on that threshold, then some kind of spiritual retrieval is the answer to get us back there. And it really matters. It really is important. The spiritual plan that we've been looking at, the spiritual practice that we've been looking at for reclaiming our sense of wholeness and confidence in the world happens to be a spiritual program that's called the 12 Steps. It used to be called the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now they are 12 Steps of Recovery. And the thing that we are recovering is our essential self. That is what we all have in common. is to always be on the cutting edge of being willing and excited about recovering our essential, original, confident self. Let's review the first few steps, shall we? Oops, we drifted. The first step is that we admitted we were powerless over whatever it is that's blocking our sense of self. To say that, you know, I started out to do this, but this isn't working for me anymore. That's all this means. The second step is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. This is such a science of mind teaching. Dr. Holmes would say repeatedly, there's a power for good in the universe greater than you are. What you want to call it is none of my business, but it's up to you to coin a name or an idea for it. In recovery world, it's called your higher power, generically. Whatever your higher power is, maybe it's your best version of yourself. The you that came into this world inherently whole and confident. That is enough to get us where we want to go. And living in accord with that restores us to sanity. Why? Because we understand we live in a world of cause and effect. If I'm going to show up as a sad sack, guess what kind of life I'm going to have? Sad sack. If I show up fresh, confident, intrigued, then what kind of a life am I going to have? Fresh, original, intriguing. This is really demanding, but it's very simple. It's very, very simple. The third step is we made a decision to turn our will, meaning our willfulness, that two-year-old that always goes, you are not the boss of me, you can't make me do this. Fine, I can't make you do it, but you're still not getting what you want. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. This is your adult work. Understand the way life works. Understand the way the cosmos unfolds. You are the scientist here. You're the only one that can look at your life and decide if it's on track or not. And if you are not experiencing what you think you're putting out, then you're not putting out the equivalent of what it is you say you want. And you, me, we're the only ones that can determine that ultimately. Our friends and our partners might be very willing to tell us all the ways we get it wrong, and they may be doing that out of love. Assume that they are doing it out of love. But you are the only one that can ultimately know, and you are the only one that can come to an understanding of what God is. For me, God is the creative principle of the universe. You call it karma, you call it cause and effect. That is what higher power is for me. Four, we talked about last week, make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Be willing to really look at ourselves, to look at our lives as they are. And all those areas that fall into the win, lose, or draw categories, but to really look at them and to say, is this what I intended? Is this blessing me? Is this what I want? These seeds I'm sowing over here by this talk, this idea, this action, do I want to experience, as Dr. Walker used to say, do I want to experience the results of what I'm putting into action? And if it's no, for the love of God, make another choice. Today I want to talk about steps 5, 6, and 7. And it's brief, but they are of a unit. Admitted to God, the God of your understanding, how you have defined God, to ourselves and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Ouch, that sounds icky. That's like going to confession. Anybody raised Catholic the way I was? Who wants to do that? Hold that thought. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove these shortcomings. We know, and even in the context of this specific teaching, we know that God is not an outside personality that's going to do a favor for you, like a personal shopper, Santa Claus lifeguard. That is not what God is. It is this cause and effect that the science of mind teaches. So let's go back now and look at these as a unit. Admitted to God, the part of me that is not afraid, the part of me that is not embarrassed by all the wacky things I've done, the part of me that knows no discouragement, the part of me that is forever. And to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Why is this important? It is important and it's critical because ultimately, as counterintuitive as this may sound, it builds confidence. It allows us to stand up and say, you know what, no matter what I have done or where I have failed, who cares? I am bigger than that and I am better than that and I am ready now. I declare to myself and I speak aloud the words that I am not intimidated by this. In our class on Jungian spirituality, we were watching a film of Carl Jung actually talking, and then a lot of his students from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s speaking as well. And a lot of Jung's work was about a thing called the shadow, a part of us where we're embarrassed, you know? And we have to remember we're different now in the 21st century than we were in the early 20th century or in 1953 when I was born. One never admitted one was wrong. One never, ever under any circumstances admitted any shortcoming or anything that was going on in our house is nobody else's business. And that had pretty much been true for a couple of thousand years, that everything was a deep, dark secret. Well, our culture has come a long way in healing and realizing that nobody can afford to have any deep, dark secrets because it robs us of our confidence when we have secrets. It allows us to be in a position where something else, we admit that something else is more powerful than we are. And that cannot be true. It cannot be true. Now, sometimes we go overboard on a lot of YouTube things and Jerry Springer about how fabulous it is to be so flawed as I am, and that's pretty unattractive as well, and that's not getting anybody anything they need either. But the sweet spot is always in the middle, between the extremes. And that's where we want to be doing our practice. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of characters. 29 years into practicing 12 steps, I never saw the word all until this weekend. We're entirely ready to have God remove all defects of character. Well, can I just get rid of the one that's doing me the most harm? Can I just kind of do a surgical strike and say, okay, I get that's not working, but I want to reserve the right to be hideous to people that tell me they love me? Of course you can't do that. Why? Because you are a whole unit. If there is a virus anywhere, there's a virus everywhere. I'm thinking computers now and operating systems. How can one virus shut down the whole operating system? It does. This is why this is demanding, to look at ourselves in spiritual healing and say, all of those parts of me that are not working, I am ready to release. That's too much. There's so many of them. One at a time, and little by little. But the commitment, this is what I understand now, the commitment is to all. That I am willing to be the best version of me that I can possibly be, and I am willing to have all behaviors, thoughts, beliefs removed that are holding me back. Any exception? No exceptions. Not even the ice cream, not even the ice cream. When we are there and in right relationship, which simply means humbly ask God the way life works to remove these shortcomings. For me, humbly, humility means you're in right relationship. You really get the way it works, and you're okay with it. Pretty simple. Then we really are on a whole new threshold. And if we can identify the shortcomings and be willing to say, you know what, time is up. I'm really willing to let go of everything as I can identify them one at a time over a long period of time. That's why the work of recovery goes on as long as we're on this planet, much like forgiveness work, one at a time over time. That is the commitment that we keep. That's why this is a spiritual practice. It does not end. It is not odious or impossible, but it is something that we get to do. As Dorothy goes through every single trial on her way back to Oz, all of those things are required for her to finally realize, I could have done this all along. But everything is required to get to that place. In conclusion, this is worth doing. This is your life. I know that there's something else that happens after this. I don't know what it is, and I don't know what dimension it takes place in. But I know that there's something else. But this is the only chance we get to be this. To be seen as you are, to be seen for who you really are, to participate in life as you choose to participate in it, with confidence and a sense of wholeness. Wherever you are in life, whatever your age is, I do not care. But every day is an opportunity to be willing to declare ourselves to be on a threshold for something new. I welcome you over that threshold. And I tell you that it is worth the effort. God bless you, friends, and happy Thanksgiving to you.